From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as he brings the next portion of a message called Saved from Wrath by Faith. Here, Dr. Cairns deals with God's mercy to Rahab as she hid the spies who came to reconnoiter the city of Jericho. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, as written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Looking Unto Him. The text is Hebrews 9, verse 28. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. This is our hope. He to whom we have already looked as coming once to bear the sins of many will have another manifestation to the sons of men. This is a happy prospect in itself. But that second appearing has certain peculiar marks which glorify it exceedingly. Our Lord will have ended the business of sin. He has so taken it away from his people, and so effectually borne its penalty, that he will have nothing to do with it at his second coming. He will present no sin offering, for he will have utterly put sin away. Our Lord will then complete the salvation of his people. They will be finally and perfectly saved, and will in every respect enjoy the fullness of that salvation. He comes not to bear the result of our transgressions, but to bring the result of his obedience, not to remove our condemnation, but to perfect our salvation. Our Lord thus appears only to those who look for him. He will not be seen in this character by men whose eyes are blinded with self and sin. To them he will be a terrible judge, and nothing more. We must first look to him, and then look for him. And in both cases, our look shall be life.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. In verse 31 of Hebrews chapter 11, we read, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." As Dr. Cairns continues to make application of these Old Testament accounts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he portrays Jericho as a picture of the world, with the sword of God's judgment suspended over it. God's mercy to Rahab demonstrates the truth that he delights to save sinners, notwithstanding the necessity of judging sin. As vile a sinner as Rahab was, when she believed what she'd heard about the God of Israel, her life was spared and her soul was saved. Rahab's salvation points up the infinity of God's mercy, the infinite power of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit to change the most depraved heart. Now, to continue this message called Saved from Wrath by Faith, here is Dr. Cairns.
Paul said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You can take your Bible and find example after example. We look at Rahab and think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who don't like God saving sinners. The Pharisees didn't like it. You remember in Luke 15, they said, "This man receiveth sinners." And they didn't know the compliment they were paying the Lord. It was meant to be a mark of opprobrium. "This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them." The Lord Jesus looked at them on another occasion, and they said, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Some of you are in this meeting this morning, and you were born into a Christian home. You were brought up in a Christian church. You've been taught by Christian teachers. You've been surrounded by every Christian influence. You would turn your nose up at the poor, down and out drunk, and the drug addict and the harlot. You have never walked their way. You've never sunk to their depths, but you'll go to hell while some of them go to heaven. Jesus said it. You may have never walked their way, but never for a moment think that's because you're intrinsically any better. The grace of God has surrounded you and kept you back from things that your heart and my heart are equally capable of doing. There is not a sin in the book. There's not a step that human feet can take, not a thought that human minds can think, not an action that human hands can do, that you or I are not utterly, totally, personally capable of doing, were it not for the preventing grace of God. There's no room for pride in any one of us. God delights to save the Rahabs. There's a king of Israel by the name of Manasseh, reigned, if my memory's right, 55 years over the southern kingdom, the tribes of Judah. He did evil. A wicked, wicked man, carried captive to Babylon because of his sin. And then in his trouble he sought the Lord. One of the loveliest pages in Old Testament history, you'll find it in 2 Chronicles 33, 12 and 13, when this wicked, vicious, rebellious king who had spent years in idolatry and bringing down the worship of the Lord and slandering the name of his own godly father, Hezekiah, by his wicked living, when he sought the Lord, God heard him, and God saved him. You remember the disciples were very, very surprised one day to find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to another immoral woman at the well of Sychar, Jacob's well. This woman, out, I think probably because no decent woman would rub shoulders with her, out at the well at a time of the day when women just didn't go to the well to draw their water. She found that Christ came by and he said, "Give me to drink." She said, "You're speaking to me? You, a Jew, are asking me for a drink, and I'm a woman of Samaria?" The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The force of the original words there is very, very instructive. The Jews do not share a cup with the Samaritans. I'm a Samaritan. She didn't say, I'm also a poor, down and out, wicked, immoral wretch. But the Lord Jesus soon showed her heart. But yes, the Christ of God would come to the outcast of Samaria and see of her. You take the whole church of Corinth. When God see of those people, he didn't find them in beautiful, ornate churches. He found them in heathen temples. He found them in brothel houses. He found them in sodomite dens. That's where he found them. He goes down the list of all the filthiest and the wickedest sins. And remember, Corinth, that thriving city, was thriving in sin as well. It was one of the foulest places. To this day, to call someone a Corinthian is to call them by a name that says you're guilty of the greatest promiscuity. The Lord found these people in this wicked place, but he said, such were some of you. But I like the buts of the gospel. Ephesians 2, dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, etc., etc. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. So such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. By this is the power of the mercy of God. In the early days of the Christian church, Christianity was assailed in many fronts. One of the most virulent of its assailants was a Jew by the name of Celsus. Celsus argued against Christianity on many, many fronts, but one thing that he said was, he said, the gospel is a sanctuary for very wicked, the word he used was flagitious people, because of the broad terms that it uses to approach sinners. This gospel comes to idolaters. It comes to wicked men and women, and it offers them pardon without works. It offers them immediate acceptance with God without any human purgatory or any such notion. He says, this Christianity is a sanctuary for the worst people in the world. He was answered by a man by the name of Oregon. A lot of things about Oregon I don't like, but I like his answer in this case. He said, the gospel is not merely a sanctuary for them to receive them. It is also a hospital to cure them. How true. This is not just a sanctuary for wicked people. This gospel is not just a place into which wicked sinners run. It is a place into which sinners come, and they are made saints by the grace of God, gloriously and eternally saved. May I want every Christian here this morning to get this message in their heart, and to get encouragement and to get boldness and fearlessness to go out and to confront the sinners. We get scared away from big sinners. We see the big sinner. We see the marks of sin in their face. We hear the filth of sin from their mouth, and we become intimidated that, well, maybe we can't deal with them. Well, sure, we can't deal with them. But there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ to save the foulest and the vilest of sinners. The call from God to the church of Christ is to storm the battlements of hell, to go to the Jerichos of this world, to get to the Rahabs of this world, and to give them the gospel. Jesus is able to save. I quoted a great Puritan preacher a moment ago. He was observing why we can be so confident to preach the gospel to the greatest of sinners. And they said, the first reason is the infinity of God's mercy. You stop and look at yourself. Are you in hell today? No, thank God you're not. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you saved? You say, thank God I am. Well, my friend, the mercy that could reach from heaven above to earth beneath to save a sinner like you or me, that mercy is infinite. If God can save me, God can save anybody. The infinity of God's mercy. I think sometimes we straighten our God. I don't want to keep harping in one string, but I believe that we need to face this. I think we have reached the stage very largely in Orthodox Christianity. Thank God it's not universally so. But largely in Orthodox Christianity, we've reached the stage where we have reduced our orthodoxy to a mechanical theology, and we have lost the heartbeat of the love of Christ. We ourselves don't feel great mercy. Our first reaction is usually a reaction to condemn. Now, we have to be against sin. And we can't go soft on sin. But with that condemnation of sin, we need to have in our hearts a reflection of the mercy of our God. I feel sometimes that's largely missing. We're so busy condemning somebody because of their sin, we forget the mercy of God to save sinners. The second reason we're so confident in preaching to sinners is the infinity of the merits of Christ. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Do we believe it? Is it a theory? Is it a mere theological proposition? Is it merely something that we wrap around ourselves as a cloak of orthodoxy? Oh yes, I believe in the substitutionary once for all atoning death of Jesus Christ. Yes, we believe it. But has it ever really gripped our heart? There is real cleansing, saving, delivering power in the blood of the Lamb. Who can tell the length and breadth and depth and height of the merit of Jesus Christ? You can't do it. It's infinite merit. Then the covenant of grace exempts no sin except the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You can go to the drunk, you can go to the drug addict, you can go to the pervert, you can go to the immoral person, you can go to the liar, you can go to the thief, you can go to the Pharisee, you can go to the down and out, you can go to the up and out, to the rich and the poor, the black and the white, you can go wherever you can possibly reach in this world with the utmost assurance that God's grace can reach the deepest dyed sinner. And then, of course, the power of the Holy Ghost can change and sanctify the vilest heart. I love the way it was put. He can change a dunghill into a bed of spices. Let God's people grip that. But if you're in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, whether you think yourself a Rahab or whether you think yourself a better than Rahab, let me tell you, without Christ, you're a sinner. Without Christ, you're under condemnation. Without Christ, you're sitting in a world that's about to be visited with the awful, unspeakable anger of a holy God. I want to tell you, my friend, you can be saved. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever your past, whatever your present, whatever the internal filth, whatever the external filth, you can be saved. Rahab, the harlot, was saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.